Hi everyone, I'm Craig Orndorff. Welcome to Seems Like Old Times, the show where we listen to the memories. Greetings, my friends. So nice to be with you once again as we get ready for another edition of the show that features some of the greatest music of all time. We have the big bands and the great singers, the standards, jazz, and the golden pop memories. And some of that will come from the showcase this weekend as our musical theme is Big. It's part two of our dive into big songs. Tunes that have big in the title. And for the countdown today, we're heading back to the middle of November in 1960. Well, that's what we have for you today, and if you're ready, let's begin.
Seems like old times, being here with you, being here with you, being here with you.
And we're off and running on today's Seems Like Old Times, and we begin on the countdown as always, and today we're back in November of 1960. Now, usually we feature the top 10 from our selected weekend, but here in 1960, there was a lot of rock and roll on the charts, and that's not our genre here, so we'll jump around a little bit, leaning toward the easy listening sound. And by the way, the easy listening chart had not been established yet by Billboard magazine, but it wasn't far away. It debuted in January of 61. Well, let's get started with this weekend's countdown, and debuting at number 50 on the Billboard Hot 100 was Burt Camford and his orchestra. Wonderland by Night. Boy, what a way to start the show. A big smash there for Burt Camford and his orchestra, Wonderland by Night. And it was the first hit for the 37-year-old Camford from Hamburg, Germany, who recorded the number a year earlier but couldn't get it released in his home country. So he came to America and went to Decca Records in New York, And they love the tune, featuring the trumpet of Charlie Tabor. That would be a million seller, and it was headed to number one for a three-week stay. It is November 1960 on Today's Seems Like Old Times, and here's another number one record completely different from the one we just heard. A comedy recording by Larry Verne. At number 48, Please, Mr. Custer.
That famous day in history, the men of the 7th Cavalry went riding on. And from the rear a voice was heard, a brave young man with a trembling word ran loud and clear.
What am I doing here? Please, Mr. Custer, I don't want to go. Hey, Mr. Custer, please don't make me go. I had a dream last night about to come in fine. Somebody yelled attack, and there I stood with the arrow in my back. Please, Mr. Custer, I don't want to go. Oh. Hey, them bushes out there, they moving. There's the engine behind every one. Hey, Mr. Custer, you mind if I be excused the rest of the afternoon?
Hey, Charlie, duck your head.
Oh, you're a little bit late on that one, Charlie. I bet that smarts.
They were sure of victory, the men of the 7th Cavalry, as they rode on. Again from the rear a voice was heard, that same great voice with a trembling word rang loud and clear.
What am I doing here?
Please, Mr. Custer, I don't want to go. Listen, Mr. Custer, there's a redskin waiting out there, fixing to take my hair. A coward I've been called, 'cause I don't want to wind up dead or bald. Please, Mr. Custer, I don't want to go.
No. I wonder what the engine word for friend is. Say, friend. Kemosabe, that's it.
Kemosabe. Hey, out there. Kemosabe.
No, that isn't it. Look at him out there. Running around like a bunch of wild engines. Oh, this ain't no time for joking.
Out of Minneapolis, that's Larry Verne. Larry Verne Erickson, just 24 years old when he recorded Please, Mr. Custer. He was enjoying his fame in the spotlight with that gold record and a former number one. But it was moving off the survey down to number 48 this week in 1960. And by the way, Larry Verne didn't stay in music that much longer. He became frustrated with the music industry, and he gave it up to become a set builder in Hollywood, a job he did for 35 years. It is November of 1960 on Today's Seems Like Old Times when the President of the United States was Dwight Eisenhower. Richard Nixon was the Vice President, but that would change in about 2 months because we just held an election. And we'll have more about that a little bit later on. But the population of the USA, just under 187 million. Unemployment, 6.6%. The GDP here for the final quarter of the year was very good, 4.9%. After being just okay for most of the year, the median household income this year, $5,600. That's about $61,000 today, and the median household income now is about $83,000. But here in November of 1960, we were getting a look at next year's class of automobiles. And the buying trend was toward more compact automobiles. Ford had the Falcon, Plymouth offered the Valiant. For Chevrolet, it was the Corvair. The Tempest was produced by Pontiac, Dodge had the Lancer and the Dart, AMC gave us the Rambler Ambassador, Mercury had the Meteor, and from Oldsmobile, the Cutlass, but it wasn't called that back then. Originally, it was named the F-85.
Whoever said you can't mix business and pleasure? This man does it every day in Oldsmobile's new F-85. And this year, there's more room in the F-85 sedan for sharing the fun, too. These extra riders like the something extra this new F-85 offers in smooth, quiet performance. Every F-85 has an aluminum V8 engine as standard equipment. You get true Oldsmobile performance with up to 185 horsepower. No doubt about it, this is the fun route from home to office. Sized right, powered right, and priced right in the low price field.
The sticker price for the 61 Olds F-85 was $2,384. And by the way, the best-selling auto for the 61 model year was the Chevy Impala. Well, we were getting a first look at them here in November of 1960. And we get back to the countdown now. We jump up to number 30 on the chart with Dinah Washington.
Love walked right in and drove the shadows away. I said, love walked right in and brought my sunniest day. One magic moment, and my heart seemed to know that love said hello. Though not a word was spoken, one look, and I forgot the gloom of the past. One look and I had found my future at last. One look and I had found the world completely new. When love, ooh yeah, when love walked in.
Love Walked In was written by the Gershwins, and it was introduced in the movie The Goldwyn Follies in 1938. That same year, it became a number one hit for the Sammy Kay Orchestra. And the revival here in 1960 was done by Dinah Washington. The 36-year-old from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, was accompanied by the Nat Goodman Orchestra, and she had the record at number 30 this week in 1960, at its peak on the Billboard chart, but it did make it to number 18 on the Cashbox survey.
Earlier this year, Westinghouse proudly announced this revolutionary new frost-free center drawer refrigerator. Since then, public acceptance of this marvelous center drawer has been really overwhelming. The exclusive Westinghouse center drawer refrigerator, like all 1960 Westinghouse refrigerators, has earned the world-famous Good Housekeeping magazine guarantee seal. We're truly happy that you and Good Housekeeping join us in saying, you can be sure if it's Westinghouse.
The familiar tagline, you can be sure if it's Westinghouse. Delivered, of course, by Betty Furness. And by the way, this week it was announced that she was leaving her job as commercial spokesman for Westinghouse. After 11 and a half years, she closed her last refrigerator door. She had been one of the most recognized faces on television since the beginning. She said she wanted to do something else in television, something more serious. But after all that time as a pitch woman, the public really couldn't accept her as a serious journalist. However, she would later work for many years as a consumer advocate. All right, we're back to the charts from this week, 65 years ago, and we're up to number 26 on the countdown with the theme from The Apartment. Here's Ferrante and Teicher.
Thank you.
British composer Charles Williams wrote that melody in 1949 under the title of Jealous Lover. The song was featured in a British film that year, and then Mantovani and his orchestra recorded a version in 1951. But it became a worldwide smash when it was used as the theme for the motion picture The Apartment. And helping it get to that status was the commercial recording done by Arthur Ferrante and Louis Teicher. And that was their first big hit. It topped out at number 10, and it was down to number 26 this week in 1960. And that's where we've gone to listen to the memories on Seems Like Old Times. We're back on Seems Like Old Times, and today in the showcase, it's part two of the musical theme, Big. A hat tip to Tricia T. in New Jersey. She suggested the theme. I said, that's great. Why hadn't I thought of it over the last 19 years? Yeah, we had enough left over after last week's show for a second go-around, so that's what we're doing today. And we kick it off with Benny Goodman's orchestra and Big John Special. Big John Special from the Benny Goodman Band. It was written by Horace Henderson, and he had it possessive in his original title, Big John's Special. But Benny removed the apostrophe S for his recording in May of 1938, with a lineup featuring Harry James, also Ziggy Elman and Chris Griffin in the trumpet section, Just Stacy on piano, and Dave Tuff on the drums. All right, almost the same title in this next number from Jimmy Dean.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. He didn't say much, he kind of quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, you just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land. Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John.
Then came the day at the bottom of the mine when a timber cracked and men started crying. Miners were praying and hearts beat fast, and everybody thought that they'd breathed their last, except John. Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well. Grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John.
And with all of his strength he gave a mighty shove. Then a miner yelled out, "There's a light up above." And 20 men scrambled from a would-be grave. Now there's only one left down there to save, Big John. With Jackson timbers they started back down. Then came that rumble way down in the ground, and the smoke and gas belched out of that mine. Everybody knew it was the end of the line for Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John.
Now they never reopened that worthless pit. They just placed a marble stand in front of it. These few words are written on that stand: at the bottom of this mine lies one hell of a man, Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John.
Jimmy Dean, Big Bad John. 5 week number one in 1961, and definitely one that we had to have on our list of big songs, which is our theme today once again. Well, next up are the Bell Sisters. They sing "The Big Goodbye."
Guess I've had the big goodbye. Guess I've had the big goodbye. I call you up and you are not there. I knock on your door and I get the stare from your neighbors. Guess I've had the big goodbye. Guess I've had the big goodbye. I should have known it was too good to last. I should have guessed we were moving too fast, and I lost you. Guess I've had the big goodbye. If it were I who were leaving, I'd have left you some word. There was no reason for deceiving. I love again, but not the one I prefer. I'll hang around here and time I will stall. Wait till the day that you happen to fall in my arms, dear. Then I'll give the big goodbye. Then I'll give the big goodbye. If it were I who were leaving, I'd have left you some word. There was no reason for deceiving. I love again, but not the one I prefer. I'll hang around here and time I will stop. Wait till the day that you happen to fall in my arms, dear. Then I'll give the big goodbye. Then I'll give the big goodbye. Then I'll give the big goodbye.
Bell Sisters, Cynthia and Kay, on their 1956 recording, The Big Goodbye. And they were accompanied on that track by Mauro Bruno. He was mainly a composer and arranger. He did the music for the shows Barnaby Jones, Police Story, The Streets of San Francisco. He was the arranger and conductor for a number of nightclub acts in Vegas and Los Angeles. We're going big once again on Seems Like Old Times. This is Seems Like Old Times. I'm Craig Orndorff. Today on the countdown, we've gone back to the middle of November in 1960. And this was song number 23 that week, He Will Break Your Heart. It's Jerry Butler.
He don't love you like I love you. If he did, he wouldn't break your heart. He don't love you like I love you. He's trying. You've been dating. Whoa, I got a feeling he's gonna put you down. Because he don't love you like I love you. If he did, he wouldn't break your heart. He don't love you. All the great quotations. He says the things I wish I could say. Whoa, but he's had so many rehearsals. Girl, to him it's just another play. But wait, final act is over, and you're left standing all alone. When he takes his bow and makes his exit, I'll be there to take you home.
There's Jerry Butler, born in Mississippi, grew up in Chicago, and that's where he met Curtis Mayfield, and they formed The Impressions, and that was his first big solo hit, He Will Break Your Heart. Number 23 on the Billboard Hot 100 this week, 1960, heading up to number 7 there, but it was a number 1 R&B song. We lost Jerry back in February at the age of 85. He and his wife Annette were married for 60 years before her passing in 2019. Well, what was happening here in the fall of 1960? Well, of course, the Cold War was going on, and back on October 12th, Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev created a spectacle at the United Nations. The head of the Filipino delegation said the people of Eastern Europe and other nations under the Soviet sphere were being deprived of freedom because they had been swallowed up by the Soviet Union. Well, that angered Khrushchev, who started pounding the table with his fist, but some eyewitnesses contend that he banged the table with his shoe as he was trying to get the chairman's attention so he could respond. Well, there's no photograph or video evidence to prove that the shoe banging occurred, but the incident was reported that way, and it's become an urban legend. Well, he did get to speak, by the way, and at the rostrum he hurled insults at the Filipino delegate and rambled on about American imperialism and other communist claptrap. But that wasn't the first time he pounded the desk at the UN and put on a show. Well, speaking of communists, an armed revolt linked to the Cuban regime of Fidel Castro broke out in Guatemala against the government of President Miguel Fuentes. Well, that revolt was squashed and an airport was destroyed, preventing further invasion by Castro rebels. Meanwhile, there was a Castro-inspired revolt in Nicaragua, but the government forces routed the insurgent bands that had occupied two southwestern cities for a number of hours. Meanwhile, in South Vietnam, they're battling the communists from the north, but also each other. This week, disgruntled South Vietnamese army officials attempted but failed at a coup against President Ngo Dinh Diem. Troops loyal to Ngo crushed a two-day uprising with a swift counterattack. The insurgent military chief and two political associates were captured. And even though they're anti-communists themselves, they oppose Ngo's harsh methods for maintaining the security of the country against the Reds. Meanwhile, the crisis in the Congo continued.
Independence came to over a dozen states peaceably. But in the Belgian Congo, freedom was followed by rioting and army mutiny, a reign of terror and disorder. United Nations troops were called in to avert total chaos. For months, the political pattern kept changing with kaleidoscopic speed until pro-Red Premier Lumumba was seized by the forces of strongman Colonel Mobutu. But the struggle for power was far from over.
Ed Herlihy of the Universal Newsreel on the chaos in the Congo here in late 1960. Well, back here at home, coming in at number 21 on the countdown this week was Bobby Darin, Artificial Flowers.
Alone in the world was poor little Anne, as sweet a young child as you'd find. Her parents had gone to their final reward, leaving their baby behind. Did you hear? This poor little child was only 9 years of age when mother and dad went away. Still she bravely worked at the one thing she knew to earn her few pennies a day. She made artificial flowers, artificial flowers, flowers for ladies of fashion to wear. She made artificial flowers, you know those artificial flowers, fashioned from Annie's despair. With paper and shears, with some wire and wax, she made up each tulip and mum. Snowflakes drifted into her tenement room, her baby little fingers grew numb from making artificial flowers, those artificial flowers, flowers for ladies of high fashion to wear. She made artificial flowers, made from Annie's despair. Still clutching her poor frozen shears. Amidst all the blossoms she had fashioned by hand, watered with all her young tears. There must be a heaven where little Annie can play in heavenly gardens. From Annie's, fashion from Annie's despair.
Give her the real thing.
There's Bobby Darin with his fourth top 40 song of 1960, Artificial Flowers, at number 21 this weekend. That had one more spot to move, and that was a song from the Broadway musical Tenderloin. And that starred Maurice Evans and Ron Hussman. Now, Tenderloin was written by George Abbott and Jerome Weedman, with the music by Jerry Bock and Sheldon Harnick. And that was the follow-up to their big hit Fiorello a year earlier, which was still running on Broadway here in November of 1960, as we head to the Great White Way and see what was playing. A Fiorello, by the way, starred Tom Bosley and Howard Da Silva. We'll get back to the musicals here in a second. Some of the other shows, some fun improv in An Evening with Mike Nichols and Elaine May. For the dramas, Toys in the Attic with Jason Robards, Maureen Stapleton, Irene Wirth, and Anne Revere. The Best Man has Melvin Douglas and Frank Lovejoy. A Taste of Honey has Angela Lansbury and Joan Plowright. The Wall features George C. Scott and Yvonne Mitchell. And there's Beckett with Laurence Olivier and Anthony Quinn. All right, back to the musicals now. And The Sound of Music had been running for a year now with Mary Martin and Theo Bichel. Irma LaDuce starred Elizabeth Seale. There's Bye Bye Birdie with Cheetah Rivera, Dick Van Dyke, Dick Gaudier, Paul Lynde, and Kay Medford. And from Meredith Willson, the unsinkable Molly Brown, starring Tammy Grimes.
I ain't down yet.
You're down, Molly. Holler uncle.
I ain't never shouting uncle to you and nobody, because I ain't never down.
Come on, Molly. You're tuckered. Why don't you quit?
Sure I'm tuckered and I might give out, but I won't give in. How can anybody say that I'm down? Look, I'm thinking. I'm thinking very hard how to break through. Maybe here, maybe there, maybe no place. But there'll come a time when nothing, nobody wants me down like I wants me up. Up where the people are, up where the talking is, up where the joke's going on. Now look at here, I am important to me. Ain't no bottom to no pile. I mean much more to me than I mean to anybody I ever knew. Certainly more than I mean to any sidewalk yazzy hampers like you guys. Go ahead, break my arm. Me say I go, hoot. Doesn't make a bit of difference for you to keep saying I'm down till I say so too. Did you ever try stepping on a piss ant? Well, there's one now. Jumping, stumping, thinking you got him, thinking he's quit. He don't think so. There it goes. And you can be positive, sure I'm as good as any piss ant that ever lived. Oh, I hate that word down. But I love that word up, because up means hope, and that's just what I got. Hope for someplace better, someplace I don't know, cleaner, shinier. Hell, if I gotta eat catfish heads all my life, can I have them off a plate just once? And the red silk dress, when there's girl enough for me to wear one. And then someday, with all my might and all my main, I'm gonna learn to read and write. I'm gonna see what there is to see. So if you go from nowhere on the road to somewhere and you meet anyone, you'll know it's me. I'm gonna move from place to place and find a house with a golden stairs. And if that house is red and has a big brass bed, I'm living there.
Well now, who do you think you are?
I can be anybody. I can be a queen if I wanna be.
We've just been wrestling with a queen, if you please. Would recognize with all that turned on her knees. And with her head and golden toes, and that contraption she calls her nose. A queen can never be queen without any throne. So here's the fanciest throne that you'll ever own. Here is your center, here is your crown. Now won't you please sit down?
Ain't Down Yet, that's Tammy Grimes from the unsinkable Molly Brown in its second week on Broadway this weekend in 1960. And remembered today on Seems Like Old Times. Today on Seems Like Old Times, we've turned the calendar back 65 years to November of 1960. Hey, and let's see what was on TV here in 1960. Oh, by the way, a Magnavox 27-inch hi-fi television set, $360. That's almost $4,000 today, and that was just a black and white TV. Plus, you had to hook up an antenna. Well, this year, the Westerns were our favorite. Gunsmoke, Wagon Train, Have Gun, Will Travel, The Real McCoys, Rawhide, Bonanza. Outside of the Western genre, there was The Untouchables, 77, Sunset Strip, Perry Mason. Who remembers Checkmate with Anthony George, Sebastian Cabot, and Doug McClure? There was Peter Gunn and Route 66. And for laughs, there was Candid Camera, Jack Benny, Dennis the Menace, Danny Thomas, Red Skelton, and What's My Line? And three notable new programs this season that made the top 20. My Three Sons, starring Fred McMurray. There was the animated prehistoric version of The Honeymooners, called The Flintstones. And this was the first year of The Andy Griffith Show, starring the namesake as Sheriff Andy Taylor, and of course his deputy, Don Knotts.
I'd like to offer this as foolproof evidence. There once was a deputy called Fife, who carried a gun and a knife. The gun was all dusty, the knife was all rusty, because he never caught a crook in his life. Now that's undermining the dignity of the law.
The Andy Griffith Show, Monday nights at 9:30 on CBS. It finished fourth in the ratings in its first season. Barney Fife was always ready to make an arrest and put some prisoners on the chain gang, just like the ones in song number 20 this week, sung by Sam Cooke.
I hear something saying,
well, don't you know?
That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they're saying, the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they work so hard till the sun is going down, working on the highways and byways and wearing a frown. You hear them moaning their lives away, then you hear somebody say, that's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. Can't you hear them saying, I'm going home one of these days. I'm going home, see my woman, whom I love so dear. But meanwhile, I've got to work right here. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they're saying, my work is so hard, give me water, I'm thirsty, my work is so hard, whoa, my.
That's Sam Cooke, born in Mississippi, raised in Chicago, and you may have heard me say that before. Yes, I did, for Jerry Butler. Sam took that same path, and from there it was on to stardom. And here in 1960, Sam had just moved to RCA Victor, and that was his first hit for the new label. Chain Gang, at number 20 this week in 1960. That was coming off of its high of number 2. Well, also today we have more big songs. We're not talking about size, we're talking about songs that have big in the title. But actually our next tune is about a size issue. It's the Ink Spots. Your feet's too big.
Yeah.
What's the matter, you boy?
My feet's too big. Yeah.
Ba da dee dee, lady Bobby. Ba ba da dee dee, lay Bobby, lay ba do ba do ba do. Ba ba da dee dee, lay ba da dee.
No meat on my bones, no sign of a pop. I looks in the mirror and I thinks I'm hot. I've been to the dentist and had my molars glistened. Oh. boys, but my gal won't listen.
Oh, your feet's too big. She don't want you cause your feet's too big. Mad at you cause your feet's too big. Hate you cause your feet's too big.
Tell us about it, Brother D.
Look at you, boys. I done passed my insurance test.
What?
Everything matches, including my red vest.
Quit your kidding.
As my gal standing and asked her, said,
what she say?
This is the answer that I keeps on getting.
Feet's too big.
I don't want you cause your feet's too big. Mad at you cause your feet's too big.
Hate you cause your feet's too big.
Tell us about it, Brother Charlie.
Now, honey, I like you cause you sure is nice.
Oh, dear.
Why, you got just what it takes to paradise.
You think so?
Now, I like your face and I likes that ring. But I'm sorry, honey, cause your feet is too big.
Oh, your feet's too big. You don't want you cause your feet's too big.
Mad at you cause your feet's too big.
Hate you cause your feet's too big.
Tell us about it, that Brother Hoppy.
Now, up in Harlem, at a table for two, they set four of us, me, your big feet, and you.
Yeah.
From your ankles up, boy, you sure is sweet. But from your ankles down, you've got too much feet.
Oh, your feet's too big.
She don't want you cause your feet's
too big.
Mad at you cause your feet's too big.
Hate you cause your feet's too big.
What your gal say to you, boy?
She wash wobble.
Flatfoot.
From 1939, those are the Ink Spots. Your feet's too big. And I dedicate that one to Ed Wood, a big Ink Spots fan and used to call my morning radio show all the time. He passed away back in August, but every time I play the Ink Spots, I think of Ed. Well, that's it for hour number one. We have more big songs coming up after the break and more of the hits from this week in 1960 on Seems Like Old Times.